And let's turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 29. Luke chapter 11, verse 29. Luke chapter 11 and verse 29. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so also shall the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. And I just pray that you'd use the Scriptures and speak to our hearts, because we need that, and we need you, and we need to change, and we need to become more like Jesus, and we need to grow up in the Lord. We just need your help. So help us, first of all, to realize that, and help us, second of all, to desire it with all our hearts. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's a lot to be said there, and he's talking about the people that were there. And the Jews had a problem. You know, they had all those prophets and all the history and all the things that they had. And they began to set their store in all those things. They began to set their store in their traditions. And Jesus, remember, he rebuked them because they forsook the commandments of God for the traditions of men. And we're in danger of doing that if we're not careful. In just about any type of situation you may get in, we're in danger of doing that. We're good at traditions. We're good at, like I said, we talked about this morning, we're good at trying to figure out something, you know, that's either or, and we go that way. And a lot of the things that they were doing were good things, but they put it in the place where it didn't belong. They weren't single-minded. You know, they had a king, and then they decided they wanted a king, didn't they? The Lord was their king. But then they said, no, we want a king like just the nations do. And then that's when Saul was selected. And that didn't turn out so good either, did it? And even David, the man after God's own heart, there was a lot of issues there too, wasn't it? And then Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived on the walked on the face of the earth beside the Lord Jesus Christ. And that didn't end so well either. And we get ourselves in trouble a lot of times because we're double-minded. And the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Right? So we get double-minded. We're not of one mind. We read in the book of Acts today, and we saw as we've been going through the study on being filled with the Spirit and those things, we see that there was times when the entire church was in what? One accord. They were single-minded. Their eye was single, if you will. He says this, he says in verse 34, he says the light of the body is the eye. Yeah. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Now, there is a actual... there's an actual parallel there to actual the condition of your eye. You know, when your eye is clear, you open it up and you see it, right? And you can see clearly. But over time, as our eyes begin to deteriorate, well, then we don't see so clearly. That's why I've got glasses sitting here. I can read. If I concentrate, I can read, but it's just a whole lot easier to do this and read because it magnifies it a little bit for me. I mean, these aren't strong or anything like that, but just that little bit of deterioration. And then you see people sometimes who are actually going blind, and they get cataracts and things like that. And you know, we've got that's one of the good things about modern medicine. They've actually got the part where they can actually replace your lens with an artificial lens, and you can see relatively well. Still not as good as the original, but hey, it's better than, you know, having your eyes just be clouded all the time. And so then you also got glaucoma and things like that. It puts pressure in the eye and makes it harder for the eye to transmit the images to the brain and everything. So blindness is the result. A lot of times you see people that are blind and you look at their eyes and you see their eyes are clouded over, don't you? You see that, and we see things, or they're able to look in the eye and see damage to the eye. And so when you say something is evil, It also has a connotation of unhealthy. All right, not evil as in wickedness, but evil as in unhealthy. But when you parallel that to the idea of evil being wickedness, wickedness is unhealthy. Why? The wages of sin is death. Can't get more unhealthy than that, can you? But he says the light of the body is the eye. So if you have something that hinders that vision, then there's no light in the body. There's no light at all. The only place light really enters into our body is through the eyes. And that's why we can see. I can look out and I can see all of you. I can see the pews. I can see the street out there. I can see the trees beyond. I see all that. It's because the light enters my eyes. But when my eye is evil, when it begins to deteriorate, all of a sudden darkness begins to replace the light. The light's not clear anymore. And there's an absolute parallel there, obviously, to evil, because he tells us, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. In other words, you can be wide, you can have nice clear eyesight, but have darkness inside. Now I want you to think about this for a minute, because it's extremely important to us. He said, if thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when a bright candle, shining of a candle, doth give thee light. So when our eye is single, when our eye is clear, when our eye is straightforward, where it belongs, we can see. Brother, you were talking about going and getting some work done or getting some tests about your peripheral vision, right? Well, you see, you know, you know, most of us, we have a certain level of peripheral vision. Some of us are better. You know, they'll sit there and they'll do a test and they'll say, when can you first see? You know, when do you first see it? And I can begin to see things over here. You know, I can see the movement over here, and I get about right here and I can see I can see some detail. It's just looking straight ahead, I can see. But a lot of times there's some people, their vision it's different on every person. Some people have greater peripheral vision, some have less. But the bottom line is, you know, the reason you can't see very much over here, even though there's all kind of light, you can't see it, but until it gets to where you can see, is because now this is dark. You can't see it. All right. Now, I'm not telling you anything great. I'm not. This is no great earth-shattering message. The message is very simple. When you don't have your eye focused on something, you're not going to see it clearly. Okay? If my eyes are focused ahead and I come out here, I'll be able to see something. Like I can see this right here. I can see my fingers moving on both sides. But the simple fact is, the thing is, I really can't. I can see it just a little bit, but I can't see it clearly as if I was that way. All right? When your eye becomes diseased, there are impairments that block the light out. Okay? If you don't look, if you don't open your eyes, if you don't pay attention, you'll miss things. Yep. Now, if that's true physically, now let's apply it spiritually. When we look forward, you know, the Bible says we're to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Right? We're to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're to be looking and hasting unto the day of our God. There are things we're supposed to be looking for. We're supposed to be looking for the mercy of God. There's a lot of things that the Bible tells us we're supposed to be looking for. Who we're supposed to be looking unto. And when we get ourselves to where we're not doing that, where we're not doing that, then it becomes a problem. We begin not to see things. We begin not to understand things. We don't have a singleness of heart. A lot of times what happens to people is we read about the things in the Bible and we read about the miracles that happened and we read about the things that God did. And maybe we may hear some great Christian in time past and we read about the things that they did. And we read about people like George Mueller, who literally never asked for money ever. He just prayed it in. And there came a time where, and I've shared this story, there came a time where they came into him and said, Brother Mueller, we have, you know, he was running an orphanage for children. And he said, Brother Mueller, we have no food. We have no milk. We have no bread. We have no food for the children for this morning's breakfast. He said, what do we do? And he said, get the children up, get them washed up, have them say their prayers. Have them ask God to pray for God to provide. And he went apart and prayed. And they said, well, we're finished with that. What do you want to do? He said, sit them down and put the plates out. And all of a sudden, here comes a knock at the door. And there's a baker. And he said, Brother Mueller, I just got up. I've been up all night. He said, I was up, so I started baking bread, and then God just put it on my heart saying, y'all might need bread, so do y'all need bread? And they brought bread. And then a little while later, here came a fella that was taking milk around in his wagon, and you know how they used to bring milk around? It was cold, they'd bring it, but you couldn't. You had to get it every day because it would spoil, right? You had to get it every day or so. And his wagon broke down, his wheel broke, and he's sitting there in front of the orphanage, and he goes up and knocks on her door and says, "Can y'all use some milk? I've got to get this milk out of my, I got to get my wagon fixed, and I can't, you know, get the wagon up with all this milk. I've got to get all the weight out of the wagon. Can y'all use the milk?" And so they had milk and bread in abundance for their breakfast. But a lot of times people don't understand. We hear about things like that. We read about things in the Bible. And the problem is, we're not single in our heart. George Mueller was a man of prayer. It wasn't something that he did when a crisis came. He prayed a lot. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of purpose, and he did these things. And a lot of times we pray, but we're not praying in singleness of heart, because we pray for God to do something, but then we don't step out and do our part of expecting what we're supposed to do. We want people to be saved, but you won't tell anybody about Jesus. You said, "I don't see anybody getting saved." Well, you probably won't unless you're fortunate enough to be around somebody who will tell people about Jesus. And the thing about these people is he's telling us that if our eye is single, if our eye is focused, if our eye is pointing in the direction that it's supposed to be going, we'll see that which is light. We do it with this world. We spend time on the news and the websites and everything else in the world, and man, it gets discouraging, doesn't it? Because what are you looking at? Darkness. And isn't it amazing? For all the bad things that go on in the world, hardly anything do they even talk about is the good things. But there are good things in the world, but they focus on the bad, don't they? Almost the only thing that makes any real news is the bad things. And then when they do talk about something good, they try to twist it in some way, to make sure nobody would ever think that God had anything to do with it. So you end up looking at darkness all the time. And yet, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, right? Or it's the other way around, light unto my path, lamp unto my feet. I may have got it mixed up, but you get the idea, don't you? The entrance of thy word giveth light, giveth understanding to the simple. And so we don't focus on the Word of God, so we kind of push that out of the way. We get all caught up in entertainment and news and everything else. And I'm not saying you should ignore all that. But man, if that's your only diet, if that's what you're looking at, how do you expect to be full of light? And you know, there's one thing about it. If you go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, where we read the last couple of weeks, notice after they got saved, it says, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with singleness of heart." You know what? They had a single heart. They were eating their meat with singleness of heart. They weren't sitting there fussing over it. They knew it all came from God. God was the provider, and their focus was on there. And you know, they were just happy for what they had. No wonder he says, "Be content with such things as you have." He said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man should do unto me." You know, that's the way it is. That early church, they were there daily in one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate with singleness of heart. They were just praising the Lord. They were thankful for every morsel they got, and they attributed it all to the mercy of God and the grace of God. A lot of times we don't say it, but we kind of get the idea that we did this. You say, yeah, I've talked to a lot of people, and I know we have a lot of folks here that are on Social Security, but I've talked to a lot of people on Social Security, and one of the things they say, you know, and it's always been tickled to me, you know, people say, don't say Social Security is an entitlement because they've gotten the idea that entitlement means welfare. Well, Social Security isn't entitled. It's something that if you worked and paid into it, you're supposed to be entitled to. Who's not entitled to it is all these people who are getting it who didn't do anything, right? But the bottom line is, we like to look at that Social Security and we say, I earned that, I worked hard, I paid in, I did my part, I deserve this. But you better quit saying that. Because the only reason there's any Social Security money at all and any check coming to you at all is because of the mercy of God. Because there's a heap of countries, we're headed there, but there's a heap of countries who've already gone bankrupt and their elderly have lost everything that they put into these type systems. And we're still getting it, so praise the Lord. You know? And I'm glad for if it's a help to you and a blessing to you, but you ought to give God the glory for that. God ought to be the one that gets it. If you got a job, you ought to give God the glory for that. They had a singleness of heart. Didn't matter where it come from. We just read this morning how people in this group of people, in this group of believers at Jerusalem, in that early church, that first church at Jerusalem, how there were thousands of people got saved, and they had people coming in there saying, hey, I got land, I got this, I got that, and I don't need it, and it's more than I need, and there's other folks have need, and they went and sold it. And brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet and said, and distributed to every man as they have need. I guarantee you that was the work of God. It wasn't the work of men.
That's right.
Because if it had been the work of men, they'd have done sold that and given it to the poor, hadn't they? But until God got in touch, got a hold of their heart, then it changed. That they said, hey, I got something better. I have a better and an enduring substance in heaven. And so whether it came from somebody that sacrificed or came from their labor or came as a gift or whatever it may be, they were giving glory to God.
Yeah.
They ate their bread with singleness of heart. Yeah. Then in the book of Ephesians, it says, chapter 6, verse 5, he says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. In singleness. In other words, you're going to work. You ought to work in singleness of heart. He says the same thing in Colossians 3:22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. In other words, we don't serve men, we serve God. And if I'm serving a man, if I have an earthly master, I'm to serve him as if I would serve, as I was serving the Lord. And if I'm serving the Lord, I don't go do wrong, do I, to serve God? I don't do wickedness to serve God. So there may become a time when, I mean, I remember one time when I was in the Navy, and I had a senior chief tell me to go over to another ship. They had some supplies sitting out there. He said, go over there from there and get that. He had a pile of stuff. He wanted me to go over and steal something from another ship. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. He got all mad. He made my life a little bit miserable. Because he outranked me and I had to work for him. He didn't like it. And I didn't like it either. But you know what? It didn't last forever, did it? And I walked away with a clear conscience toward God. Hallelujah. But the simple fact is, that's where we are. I mean, we serve men. But we ought to do so in singleness of heart, fearing God, as unto Christ. We have a single heart. You can't do that if you're focused on this is me, this is mine, my power, my ability. The fact that you have the ability to do a job at all is God's grace. It's a heap of people can't hit a lick. I used to say I'm lucky. Now I say I'm blessed. Because God's merciful. And I'm able to do stuff. And we get that point. We get feeling sorry for ourselves. We sit there and say, oh, they're not recognizing me. You know, when I spent time as a program manager, and people would come in and they'd be all upset and they'd be angry. And it's like, they would say, well, you never thank me for doing my job. You got paid, didn't you? I didn't know you came to work for thanks. If you came to work for thanks, I told one fellow this one time, I said, look, if you came to work for thanks, I wish I'd have known that up ahead of time. I could have saved us a heap of money.
Yeah. That's true.
And I'm not against people being polite and saying please and thank you and everything like that, but the bottom line is we get that way. We get all upset because we don't feel like we're being appreciated the way we should and everything like that. You know, the simple fact is it really doesn't matter if you get the praise of men. What's going to matter is if you get the praise of God.
Amen.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that where we need to go with that? And, you know, if people say thank you, then good. Hallelujah. But if they don't say thank you, question is, did you do your job? Did you do what you're supposed to do? Who are you doing it for? Who gave you the job? And we got people now that won't hit a lick for anything. They go out and won't work. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he was complaining about that same thing. He told me, we had this one guy that was there, and he don't do nothing. And we went over, he was on another crew, and we went over to help them, and he just sat and watched us. Wouldn't do anything, wouldn't lift a hand. I said, well, if it's me, I'd just go up there, and as soon as I saw him there, I'd say, oh, you don't need help here. I'm going. And I'd go to the next place. I just, you know, let him do what he's supposed to do. If he wants to sit there and do nothing, that's on him. But the bottom line is, that's the way people are. We have people that they don't feel appreciated. They don't care. They're just there. Whatever the case may be, you go down the list of ailments and things that people have. I'm not appreciated, or other. I do all the work and other people do. It doesn't really make any difference. The bottom line is simple. Who are you doing it for? Is your heart single? We do it in the churches. You go to the book of 1 Corinthians, and Paul's having to tell them, you know, is Christ divided? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? One says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. We do that with preachers, don't we? I like that preacher. There's nothing wrong with liking a particular preacher. But if it causes you to not listen to the Word of God when somebody else is preaching and they may have a different style of speaking, the question is, are they speaking the truth or not? And then if they're speaking the truth, what are you going to do with the truth? What are you going to do about it? I'm talking about, this isn't a big old flashy sermon, is it? It's just talking about having a single heart. Just focusing, putting the Lord at the front of everything. Being focused on Him. Looking for His coming. Looking for His approval. Looking for His mercy. Oh, I'll tell you what. When the apostles got threatened, we read this morning in Sunday school, when the apostles got threatened and they went and told everybody, They all with one accord said, I'm not voting for him no more. Is that what they did? Did they run around the town bad-mouthing the magistrates and the people? Did they do that? No, they didn't do that. What'd they do? They took it to the Lord, didn't they? We have trouble, we have problems, we have people that cause issues, and we go tell everybody about it, don't we? Before we lift up one word in prayer, tells me we're not single with heart. And you know, we get to that point. We get to where we just want to be heard of people. Want somebody to commiserate with us. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with that unless that's all you do. But if you really want to see something happen, then you need to take it to the Lord. Everything that we have, you know, and we're told to pray without ceasing. You know what that shows? Singleness of heart. Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication. Everything, go to the Lord. Singleness of heart. A single lie. What I'm trying to say is we'll see God do more things if we will stop allowing other things to tear our vision away from Him. And we'll focus on the Word. We'll focus on our Savior. Whatever comes up, we'll give God the glory for it. And when we need help, we'll go to Him first before we go to everybody else. You know, I've had times when I've had trouble and I went around looking on my own for somebody to help me. And a lot of times I ended up getting in worse trouble because I got bad advice. But I've had times when I've been in trouble and I've took it to the Lord and prayed about it. And you know what happened? The Lord sends somebody along that could actually help me. I think we'd get a lot better figure out who God wants us to talk to. You know, sometimes you need to come to the preacher. But you won't know that unless you really seek the Lord. Sometimes it might be somebody else that can be a help to you. Sometimes it might be the person be the last person you go talk to about something, and they might be the one that actually can help you. But we miss it because our eyes not single. We don't think our problems worth taking to the Lord. We're going to see what everybody else has to say beforehand. We're told casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. But we're not going to do that. Oh, that'd be too much to talk to God that much, to take every problem I have to God. Why wouldn't you? All that would show is singleness of heart, wouldn't it? You know, in Galatians 4:30 it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Well, I think one of the ways we grieve Him most is we just leave God out of everything. Try to figure it out all on our own. Don't study the Bible to see what the Bible says about a problem. Don't ask God to help us see and understand. Live by feelings, not by faith. But notice what Jesus said. He said, if thy whole body be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give light. And we're not supposed to put our candle under a bushel, are we? No, we're supposed to be there for everybody to see. And He said, when thine eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. That's where we have a problem. I just want to challenge you about being single-minded when it comes to your life and put God where He belongs. You notice what these people were doing, the people he talks about. He said he talked to them and he said about that, he told them when the people were gathered together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign." They wanted something, God to do something to prove himself to them, even though he had already proven himself many times over. They had to have a continual run of signs instead of trusting the God that brought them out of Egypt, that saved them, that delivered them in the times of the judges again and again and again and again, who sent prophets to them and all that. They had to have a sign. Why? Because their eye was not single. Their eye was evil. And they were full of darkness. We've got to be careful of that, beloved. We just got to get to the point where our focus is on the Lord. And I just want to challenge you to that. How about this week? Whatever problem comes up, before you speak another word to anybody else, why don't you take it to the Lord? Before you open your mouth to tell anybody else, you see something going on in the world, before you say another word to another living soul about it, you see somebody do something wrong, before you open your mouth to another living word, you take it to the Lord. You have a need before you open your mouth to another soul, take it to the Lord. Let's go a week having an eye and a heart that's single. Wonder what God might do if we do that. Wonder what kind of testimonies we might have if we took everything to the Lord first and not last. If we took everything to the Lord because we believe in the Lord that saved us, and we believe in His goodness and His mercy, and we're not just going in desperation because all other options have been exhausted. Brother Curtis, will you dismiss us, please, in prayer? Amen.